Welcome to King's Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about King's Church, visit kcnyc.org.
Well, it's going to be a good morning. We have Prophet Tracy Armstrong in the house. Can we get a hand for Prophet Tracy? You know, there are prophets and there are prophets. And there are prophets with the other prophets, spelling prophets. But Tracy is a prophet in the sense that we see him as such. There's people that always say, I am thus, but they are not thus. It's like the guy with three people in his church and tells everybody he's an apostle. And he's just like desperate that you take that title, right? And then there are people that are apostles that say they don't need to tell anybody they're apostles. And there, same thing with prophets, like people that hear the word of God. And what happens at the local church level is we see this gift and recognize it in you, and we accept it, and we position you as such. And that's why the New Testament says, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. It doesn't say receive a prophet with skepticism, because I can promise you, you will receive no prophet's reward. Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet before he says anything. And, you know, it's not like I don't kill people for a living. I do. You know that. So we don't have people that are untrustworthy here. But I'm asking you this morning, will you receive a prophet, this prophet, in the name of a prophet? Yeah? I want you to stretch your hand toward Tracy this morning. Father, we thank you for everything you put in his heart, God. We thank you that you love us. And God, will you challenge us through him, God? Will you give us prophetic insight? That means things we haven't seen before that the prophet sees that we're supposed to see. Would you show us through him this morning in Jesus' name? And everybody said amen. 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 All right. Again, you can be seated.
Praise the Lord. Love you. Wonderful. Glad you guys came and packed the house this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a new property that can fit all three services into one and have room for growth and expansion. I think part of the thing that God wants for you to feel in this season, that you're in three different sessions, is some of you will take on the responsibility of feeling the need to plant another King's Church. And you will take on the responsibility of, that's me, and you'll align yourself with the leadership to be able to do that. And one of the things I want to encourage you is many people are trying to go full-time ministry. And I believe what God wants to do in this next season is to say ministry is ministry. And I don't know if anyone, like, I love the way that Pastor David does his life. He's in the world, in the marketplace, but it's not secular, it's sacred work. So we don't see what we do in business is secular, we see it as sacred. And we see what we do in the church is sacred. So we're constantly in sacred and on sacred ground. And so whether you get paid from the ministry, in need of the ministry, or whether you still work your work, I think there's something about that higher level living in the kingdom to do both. And I believe that, you know, for years it was for people, and I'm just speaking prophetically, it was for people who wanted to get out of business or out of the marketplace so that they can come and finally do the ministry. But I don't think that that's the future. Yeah.
You want me to take the mic? Yeah. Just stay right here with me. Do you know at the founding of the country, like 80 to 90% of all of the pastors were bivocational? Like, we don't have that context in the United States anymore. We're like, oh, I hope you don't ever do anything. Like, almost all of them. I was talking to Bill Federer, who's a historian, a founding historian, and I think the Lord's doing another founding in our day, in our age. I think the perverse, sick, secular world is crumbling. Not because we're bad guys and we have a, you know, armada underneath the basement, but because sin is suicidal and it corrupts and destroys the entities in which it takes hold. And so there's another founding happening, and that people are called, because just like the founding of this nation, to work and to do ministry, and they're both ministry at the same time, right? If you spend 40 hours on a message, I'm going to slap you in the face. You know what I'm saying? If you're that bad at preparing a message, I'm not. And I know pastors that do that. Because what are they doing? They're sipping their latte. They're playing Angry Birds. They're having a little chit-chat with somebody. I'm not kidding, guys. I'm not kidding. Reading a bunch of fun commentaries. It's like, do you know the Holy Spirit? Haven't you read the Bible like 40 times already? And your messages are still mediocre? You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
But what I'm saying is, what Tracy's saying is, like, I've been feeling this thing. In the founding of the nation, the vast majority of the righteous men of God leading churches were doing both. Yeah. Farmers, printers, lawyers. Not too many lawyers, because they're bad guys. You can't trust those guys. I'm joking.
That's awesome. Isn't that wonderful? And so I believe what I feel is that God's saying, you know, in this season, the discomfort needs to be embraced by a few that say, we are going to expand the kingdom of God and what God's doing at Kings so that you can come onto alignment and training. And it's a broader apostolic idea other than just having one big church, and God will open up that door, but that's going to be outgrown really quickly as well. When God opens up a door of 500-600 seats, you're going to outgrow that. And you guys aren't in agreement with that yet. Okay. All right. So you're going to outgrow that, which means that we have to continue to think leader-wise, not just gathering. Someone say leadership. Thank you. Can I get another thing? I don't know how to do auction. I have a friend who does auction. He's the best in the world. But I think it's very important that we have people who say, Lord, use me, and don't think that you have to get, I mean, when I tell people, they'll say, I met someone last week and they came to our church and they said, are you bivocational? I said, well, the way you say it makes it sound like it's a sad thing. I've written 14 books. I travel the world. I preach to people in the marketplace as well as I'm a speaker on stages. I have a media company. Yeah, I'm bivocational, but it's not a sad thing. I don't ever want to be single vocational. And even in my bivocational, I want to have multiple streams of income. So don't feel sorry for me. I'm not trying to go full-time in ministry. But I am, because my business is ministry. All right, I'm not here to talk about that aspect of things. But the same word that when God said to Pharaoh, Moses, tell them, let my people go that they may serve me, avod, is the word serve, work, worship. All the same word. When you go to work, you should see it as worship. It's your worship to God, and your separator, that thing that separates it from everyone else that goes to work, is that I show God my worship, that I came from work and have worship, is my tithe. And I'm not going to deal with that because I know you guys are New Yorkers, and you already have your pastor who will help you on that realm. But I want you to understand that there is something that separates my income from everyone else, and that's the fact that I take 10% and I give it to God. That's worship. I may be on Wall Street with everyone, but the moment I take my 10% and I give it to God, God says, you are no longer doing that as work, but you have formulated it as worship. Amen? I don't know why that's there, but there it is. There it is. There it is. And so just make sure that you allow God, however God wants to, in this season, cause expression. I think one of the most powerful things is that we are able to do more than what we think we can. Capacity is not a limiter. Capacity is an opportunity to stretch. When you hit your wall and you hit your ceiling, it's time to stretch. Don't hit a wall and go, I need a time off. You will never get the time off capacity. Anyone ever gone on a vacation, you come back and you're more tired than ever? Yeah, because there is no time off capacity. There is like backing up, right? So keep the pressure on your growth level. Oh, man. I'm excited to be here. It's my privilege to be here. And I love your pastors. I love them. They are just great people. And I love being around them. I look at their kids, and I think that they're just awesome, awesome kids. It's going to affect change in the world. And I think when you look at people who lead you, look at everything, and you'll find that that's a good place to go. Amen. There's my wife in the front, my wife Natalie, my daughter Sophia, my son Tristan, and my son Yosef. We have for years traveled together, and it was one of the things for me as a young guy, even before I got saved. I grew up without my father. I don't know my father. I don't know his name. I don't know his nationality. I know nothing about him. I asked my mom about him, and she told me some things, maybe, kinda. And I asked my grandmother about it, some things, kinda. So I have a very gray area about my father. But when I got saved, the Lord said, well, will you let me be your father? And so he became my father. And I think it's very powerful, that prayer that was prayed earlier about God being your father, and embrace that and allow God to be your father, because that's ultimately what he wanted. When he started the whole world, he didn't start it with an army. He started it with a family. And the whole goal is that he would be father from the beginning, which means if you fail naked, don't run from, run to. Don't cover yourself. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the wings of an ego. I know some people think that may be a mistake. I didn't mean to say eagle. I meant to say ego. And I think it's important that we as Christians find this realm of permission. That I think a lot of Christians I encounter don't live in permission. We live in asking permission, and mostly because we've been told to be abstinent from everything. Abstain from this, abstain from this, abstain from this. Well, when you live a life where you're told what not to do, it's hard to know what you can do. And even if that thing is inside of you, every once in a while I'll ask for a little nod or like a grunt, something that kind of gives an agreement or disagreement. I don't even care about disagreement. I like an argument. I do. I appreciate an argument anytime we can. Shoot, let's do it. Midrash. Right? So, but the fact is we have this thing where in Christianity we've been taught by the religious standard is don't do anything that is anything. Just, and the whole goal was let everyone up here do things and you guys don't do anything. And what I find really important in this season is that we learn to get our thinking back. We think so that we can say yes, and we think so we can say no. I think the most powerful thing that the church has lost is its yes and its no, to what to say no to and what to say yes to. And what I find is that there's a blanket idea that says everyone should just say what I tell you to say. Let me tell you what to say. And when you do that, you lose your ego. And I'm not looking at the ego as something. I know that there's some psychologists say that the ego, the devil, is the pain of your ego or the fear of your ego. It's the devil is an ego. The devil is not a personified being. And I want you to know that the enemy, I've cast him out enough to know that he's really an enemy. He's really a devil. And we cast out some of the things that you think are you. We cast that out too, right? I thought that was me. No, that wasn't you. That was a lying spirit. We got rid of it. Now you feel very happy. Don't you feel good about it? Right? So we've done that. But the fact is there's a place in you that God really wants you to come alive. And what we've found ourselves in a society where fitting in is important, especially with social media. Social media, if you find something in social media that's successful, guess what? Everyone's doing it. And if you're not, you're not in. Someone said to me, Tracy, how come you don't have a bigger social media platform? Because I said, well, for me, an influencer is based upon the fact that I need to be able to call certain people of influence. And if they don't answer my call, that means I have no influence. I'm not the people who say yes and click like. Because those people don't, they really, I like you. Yes, you can come, but those are not the ones that are really, I'm going to do things in the world with. I want to know when I call Pastor David or if I'm calling Pastor Bethany that I'm getting an answered call. They're not going to let it go if they see it. If they're busy, they're going to respond. That's influence. And that's the relationships I invest in. And if I want to invest in a crowd, I'm going to buy something like a streaming channel or something that gives me an instant crowd. Right? Okay, that's a different way of thinking. I'm sorry. But that's it. But the thing is because audience is different than what we think. We need to, I don't know why I'm in this space. This is interesting. Audience is fun. I love it. This is all in my mind, and I feel at home, I guess. So I think what's really important is that you find yourself not being the person that's trying to fit in, but be the person that gets in front. I found myself in 2020 listening and watching what's going on, and I found this thing that I started to research and study called the herd mindset. You guys know what the herd mindset, the herd mentality. The herd mentality was really frustrating me. I just saw people. And you know, the herd mentality is best suited for a certain demographic and a certain economic platform level, because they just are the same people that you tell to stand in that line and they get a check. They go to schools and everyone's told to shut up and sit down. We're told this. And so when we find that there's a massive majority that have that herd mindset, it really is beneficial for a person to know how the herd thinks. And so when I started this study, the herd mindset, I found that there was some cowboys in the past who were trampled because of a herd stampede. They were trampled. And I found that there was one story that was really interesting. A rancher was folding up a cigarette. And as he was folding up the cigarette, one of the little pieces of tobacco just flew out and hit one of the steer in the eye. Something got in his eye, and he was trying to blink it out. And he was trying to get some wind on it, started running. And as he started running, another one started running. Come on. And a third one. And then the next, you know, he has a stampede from someone's pain in their eye. And I feel like there's something that's going on in America that someone can just get the optics right. You understand when I say optics? They get the optics to a certain level that it will cause one person to think that they and have an interpretation of that. And everybody starts to stampede. And so I started to study, how do you stop a stampede? Now, some of them, they tried to get, whoa, stop the stampede. Well, the stampede ran them over. Because the stampede is in such a frenzy, it will just run off of a cliff. It will just run, and they will all, I mean, they literally had thousands of cows. I'm sorry, I'm telling you this cattle story. Thousands of cattle just run off the cliff because they're following the, can I say that, the tail? I was going to say the other one. They're following that which is in front of them. And they're not thinking about it. And I thank God for kings that's training up people who think, and I'm not just going to follow your behind. I'm going to think. I don't know what it is about this group. I'm getting a different little vibe going on about this second service. And if you're a first-time visitor, sorry, I'm here. So I said, Lord, what does it take? And as I started researching Ashley, I just love picking on Ashley because she's just the thinker. What it takes, Ashley, is for the cowboy to go not ride next to them, but to ride next to them until they get in front of them and ride in front of them, not trying to stop them, lead the pack and ride in front of them. And then slowly, what we call in the news world, nudge them another direction and turn the corner. And until God has leaders in this season that will get in front and lead the pack instead of just trying to fit into the pack, you're going to have another level of ego to get in front. You can't have the same level of ego and just say, I'm so happy to fit into the crowd. We need people who are not afraid of propaganda, but who will use propaganda to get in front and to move and nudge society into the direction. We have a lot of rhetoric, A lot of complaining rhetoric is what I call it, with no solutions, with no absolutions, nothing that's going to bring us to a solidified thought process that we all know how to run. And so what I believe is for you, and I believe, and you know, I believe that God is raising up people in this room that are not going to be satisfied with being in the crowd, but are called to run in front of the crowd and get in front of that, and not in that steer that has a weird eye is going to now be, you guys, didn't, following you until you lead it in the right direction. I went on that rabbit trail to get you there. Is that okay? So how many of you are here say, yes, Lord, use me. I want to be a leader. Now, I need you to know leadership is what's necessary. In 2020, I said, Lord, is Trump going to win? And this is 2019, sorry. 2019, I said, I'd prepared this whole teaching of why Trump was going to be president in 2016. I didn't feel time to release it. It was about the oil that runs down a president's head onto the nation. It's the same as a priest's oil that runs down onto the nation. So whatever priest, whatever anointing is on that head, it rolls down on you. And I said, and God said, the church needs to be ready as Trump takes his position in 2016, that they needed to be ready to carry the anointing of wealth creation. Yes, please, come on. This is a different service. I don't know.
I don't know if you know this, but during the Trump presidency, like almost no one knows this. There were billions of dollars released to the church. It's one of the things like nobody knows about Paula White and whatever about her. I was in a meeting with them in Mar-a-Lago, a lot of you guys know, last month, and she's like, there are billions of dollars available to the church because of what Trump did, and almost no one knows about it. Like all these social programs, you're like, you know how they're lighting our money on fire with horrible government programs? Those doors got opened to the church because of exactly that oil.
So get ready. You're going to come back. I don't know where we're going right now. This is where we're at. Welcome to the second service. So the oil, and so when it came to 2019, I said, Lord, is this the time that we're going to continuation? He said, no, is it time for me to release this teaching? He said, no. He says, it doesn't matter at this point. And I said, why? And he says, all I need right now is leaders. I need a grassroots movement of leaders. And the reason was, and he said, because the church didn't take advantage of the anointing that was flowing. Now, whatever level of support you are, it's not about whether you are left or right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's oil that comes from leadership. And so I want you to know, whatever happens when you see leadership that's going to go to the next level, I'm not prophesying again because I do have prophetic words for you more. But your leader is going to go to the next level. And I want you to know, if this is the leader of the house and you come to this church, the oil is going to flow down on you and you're going to flow into that next level as God begins to release greater level of power, favor, and grace.
So Stephen Saldana and Heidi, beautiful Heidi Saldana, who are on a baby moon right now. Stephen's been one of my greatest supports in this church. And as you know, I'm running around with Charlie Kirk and all these famous conservative news. We know that right here. Obviously, we know that. And then Stephen, like 6 months ago or so, James O'Keefe called me. He's like, I really need a COO. And I was like, James, I have the guy that's would be the greatest COO of any corporation in the whole world, Stephen Saldana. And James O'Keefe texts me like every couple of weeks, and he's like, thank you so much for Stephen. He's saving my company. And it's like, I thought of that Psalm 33 principle, right? Is it Psalm 33? It's 30 something. 133? There's some threes in there somewhere. It's in the Psalms. It's in the Bible. But that's exactly the same thing. It's like the Lord bringing me there, my anointing, Stephen serving humbly, loyally, beautifully, and the Lord's like, now I'm going to lift you up. And Stephen's now in the room with presidents and leaders and the guys, the Musks and all of that kind of stuff. And he talks to me. He's like, I can't even believe where I am now. It's the same exact anointing.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And what God wants to do is God is elevating this church to a level that that anointing can flow. In the room that was created there is going to be created for more of you. And, you know, the first service, I preached a great message. Can I say that? I mean, is that okay to say that? It sounds arrogant. Man, you really got an ego over there. I'm just saying. It was good. I didn't finish it. But I don't know what's happening this service. Did you record the first service? Okay, listen to that one. I don't know what's going to happen in the second service. But I want you to, third service. I'd want you to really lean in to this idea of propaganda and this idea that you have to run in front of the herd. The herd is not going to change because you stand on some kind of soapbox on your social media platform and try to do something unless you can get in front of the herd and steer it. And what the anointing is coming on this church in this next season is an anointing of propaganda, an anointing of getting in front and speaking, not only rhetoric. There's a lot of people that follow and listen to rhetoric where there's a lot of context and content without any implementation or activation. And we need to know what to do. That's where you come in. We need to know what to do next.
So you guys know we have Lucid and we're doing this cool media stuff. And I keep saying to Ashley and everybody on the team, but Ashley is our Lucid COO, and I talk to her a lot. And I keep saying this next project that we do, this homeschooling documentary, I keep saying it's going to be propaganda. And people are like, oh, I can't believe you said that. I say it all the time. It's going to be propaganda intentionally crafted to persuade people to get out of the public school systems that are insane, and that you can homeschool and raise beautiful kids like the Armstrong kids, like the Engelhardt kids. But can I read you this definition of propaganda? Let's look at this thing. It says this, congregation for propagation of the faith. It was a Latin term for the congregation, the church, to create phrases to propagate the faith. And it got hijacked by the political body to create the faith in secular man and death and chaos. The beast, really, secular man without God is the beast. But God's saying, who in my congregation will propagate the faith?
So that's, to me, like, extremely important, that when this anointing comes on a church, it's something that you all need to look into. You know, I don't know if your calves and your legs got healed last night, but like when I said to you last night, you also need to write a book. Because the fact is we need to go ahead. We need to stop being the voice that being busy doing what we do, to know that what I do is going to influence people, is going to bring people into their next level. And the more people I can influence, the more people I can bring into the kingdom of God and bring the king to the earth the way that he wants to be brought. So I encourage you in this next level to step into the realm of propaganda. Now, is your son a gamer? Does he play games? I saw this anointing of influence. I'll wait till he comes back. In the few minutes, we're gonna be done in this service. We'll do some prophecy while we wait. All right, the heart palpitations. Who has been having some heart palpitations? Is it regular? Okay, so we're in the same family. All right, we'll stay in that family just so it feels like we're not running around. All right, so you know, you're gonna work on your book, right? I don't need to prophesy that. We're just gonna be in agreement. Let's agree. I agree that by June, you're going to have your manuscript finished. By June, yes, yes. I agree. I agree with you that by June is going to be finished. And by next year, there's going to be people stepping out of grief, stepping out of pain. And I hear people right now, you know, that throughout the night cry and ask for someone to be sent to help them to come out of this. And last night when I saw you and I said, I think you should write this book on grief, I really, when I went back to the hotel, I prayed and continued. And I feel like that anointing is on you, that people who are desperate, and I see people who are so grieving that they want to be with the people that their hearts are broken, and they're thinking about committing suicide. You're going to stop suicides because you are going to create healing and create life. What's your name, young man? Aiden. Aiden, last night when you were standing here and you shook my hand and you had a good, strong grip, and I appreciate that. I saw gaming, and I saw a gaming console. And then when you got up again and I saw you walk out, the Lord showed me again gaming and the anointing of gaming. Now, I want you to understand, people don't know that there's an anointing of being sports stars and being stars in gaming platforms. I see that anointing on you, and I see the favor of God on you, that God is going to use you and use your voice. My son Yosef also has that anointing. My son Tristan has that anointing where they are online and they are saving people's lives. Online, people's lives. I mean, the amount of people, I mean, the gender confusion people, the people that are having struggling and challenges and suicide, they're winning and they're bringing life and changing their lives as they're playing games with them. I believe that they can be pro level in what they do, and I believe that that's what God's wanting to do, but I see that anointing on you, pro level, and it's different. It's a different mindset. When the Lord started talking to me about young people with this mindset, I'm like, God, this is weird. He's like, yeah, but you supported this person when they were going into pro football and this person when they were doing this. And I'm calling a new generation that's going to win more people to the Lord because of what they're able to do. God's going to give you favor. Now, listen, not only is this, but God wants you to treat your life as an entrepreneur. You have an anointing of an entrepreneur on you. You have business cycling inside of your system and in your mind. And this is going to be a great expression. But you're going to, I don't know if you're going to buy gaming platforms or have some kind of gaming platforms, but God is going to anoint you in business, and this is one avenue of being in that realm. That make sense to you? I release that blessing over you. Thank you for the strong handshake, and thank you for the blessing of God on your life. Walk in it. Be integrous. Continue to serve the Lord and seek the Lord. And if you treat it as if God's called you to it, it will be different than you even imagined. God's favor will be on you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you. Someone has a tension headache right in the back of your head, and it feels like it's pushing up towards your sinuses. Where is that? I just wave. We have a few more minutes. Tension headache. Okay. Can I put my hand right here? Just thank you, Lord. You know, there's some people that I do ministry with that we immediately connect with. And I feel like, you know, we're going to run this race together. We're going to run this race together. And that there's a massive harvest of souls. Massive harvest of souls. You know, I feel like when I put my hand just here, the same anointing that my wife has a promise from the Lord that there's going to be a harvest of Muslims coming. A harvest of Muslims. And as I'm just holding your head here, I feel like that same anointing is on you. To bring those of other religions. But I feel like there's a harvest of Muslims that is coming and that God's going to use us and use you to reach them and bring them into the house in the kingdom of God. God wants his other son to come into this house. Amen. I release this. I break this now. I thank you. I release this from you in Jesus' name. Thank you. It was Derek, right? Derek and Maggie. You know, I don't understand what I saw. But I saw you driving in and out of the city. I saw you driving into that city, and it felt like you had a place or some kind of community that you were from here ministering to outside of the city. And I felt like there was an anointing that was coming upon you at some point, like a pastoral leadership anointing that was coming upon you, and that there would be this expansion and this branching. On the other side of things, I felt like God was going to give you land outside of the city. And I don't know what that means. Not just land here, not just here, living here, but land outside of the city. And I don't know what it is outside of the city, but it kept coming to me in prayer this morning as I'm praying for you. Outside of the city, they're coming in and out, in and out, in and out of the city. So as you pray through that, ask God what that is. But I felt like he's going to give you a place to raise your family, a place for children to run. And I don't know if that's a part of your dream in your heart, but I saw children running in just this open land outside of the city, but working in the city, but outside of the city. And I release a blessing on you. I felt this, Derek and Maggie, felt this anointing as a pastor's, this pastoral anointing coming upon you and this favor. I don't know what you do, Derek. I don't know. You look cool. You're awesome. You know, I wanted to hug you 3 times, which was weird, but I did. And, you know, the grace of God is on you, and God's anointing you to pastor his people, to shepherd his people, to love his people. He trusts you to love his people. And you don't have to worry about what to say, because the Lord is filling your mouth already with what to preach. He's filling your mouth already with what to say. And there is, I don't know the dynamic of worship, what's going on here, but there is another level of music writing and songwriting. And Maggie, I feel like you have a real solid songwriting gift. And I think Bethany has a solid songwriting gift, but I feel like there's going to be some songs that declare the atmosphere of heaven for the now generation, for what's happening right now. Some of it's going to be like forceful. Some of it's going to be sweet. But it's going to be the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Lord, really, because God wants to indoctrinate a new generation with the worship that comes from you. And so I release the blessing on you. I release the blessing on you both. Amen. I saw your children. I saw just beautiful little kids. I saw, we'll talk about it later. But I saw these beautiful kids. And, I'm excited for you. Super excited for your destiny. I'm excited for your family and for the hand of God on you. It's a generational curse that's being broken. And it's going to be very beautiful. It's going to be very, very wonderful. God's hand is on you. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. Acts 20:27 says, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole counsel of God." And that's something that we're trying to do at King's Church. We're trying to steward God's word and share it to a generation. If you want to partner in us sharing the whole counsel of God's truth, please text KCNYC to 77977 and partner with us here at King's Church to get God's message, his whole counsel, all over the place on podcasts and on radio and around the world, so believers like you would be encouraged. Thanks.